We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Roll tape, please.
Okay, let's get this show rolling.
10 seconds.
Stand by, everybody.
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. Live, local, and you can hear us all over Georgia.
Big Hugh, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
A three-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly three decades. John and Hugh, call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
On Friday, weekend is upon us. Big football weekend, too. As we get ready for basketball season to start, looking around, we get ready for the Hawks opener next week. Their preseason is finally done. They played last night. They lost to Chicago. It doesn't matter that they won or lost the game. Welcome to the Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Morning to you. What up?
Good morning. Good morning, Atlanta. How's everybody doing? Hope everybody's having a wonderful or is going to have a wonderful Friday. It's Friday. The weekend's here. Homecomings. If you're going to your homecomings, some great football games coming up this weekend. Okay, I'll take that back. I don't know about great, but there's some good football games coming up this weekend. And I hope you have fun.
Got a packed show for you over the next 4 hours, and it's going to be a fun Friday around here. A little bit cool this morning in Atlanta. Felt like fall when you stepped out. So I actually did something I don't normally do. I normally just go straight in, you know, right into the house, into the garage, jump in the car, and I leave. But this morning I went out there, Hugh, and I got in the car, and after I opened the garage door, I walked out into the it just stood out there for a little while and went, because I'm a fan of fall. And I just think we're going to have a really short fall around here, given how hot it was. It felt like a cool, crisp fall morning this morning.
It's always like that. I don't mind. It's funny. I saw somebody put up a post yesterday, and it wasn't about Atlanta, but it was about being down in the South.
Mm-hmm.
And they said you have to dress accordingly. They said, like, in the morning, you know, you're getting ready for winter. By at least 10 o'clock, you know, you're in spring. By 2, you know, all out summer. And then, like at 6 o'clock, you're back in fall weather. So, yeah, that's how it is. I am not complaining. You know, jumping up in the morning and then getting ready to come to work, it's a little cool, yeah. But I still wear shorts because I know at least when we leave this building, it's going to be a lot warmer. So, yeah, I'm not too much concerned about that.
Yeah, the Hawks did finish their preseason last night. They ended 1-4 if you're keeping track. I don't know why anybody is. I'm not even sure why they – keep records of preseason, but they lost to Chicago. John Collins did not play in the game. He has the flu, He had the flu. I didn't play in the game, but I don't think there's any concern on the part of the Hawks that John Collins isn't going to be ready for Thursday's opener against the Pistons. Jabari Parker started in his place last night. Jabari Parker's an actually really interesting story. You know, Jabari Parker's a guy that could really pay great dividends to the Atlanta Hawks if he can stay healthy. I mean, he's been injured twice. He's torn a couple of ACLs in his career. And here's a guy that came out of Duke, and he was he the number one pick in the NBA draft?
That I do not know, John Fricke.
I think he might have been the number one overall pick in the NBA draft, and he was highly, highly, highly touted. He was pick number two, and so pick number two overall. And, of course, tore his ACL a couple of times, has bounced around the league, and now if he can stay healthy, because he's a young guy. I mean, Jabari Parker's probably not many older than John Collins. I mean, he's a really young guy, and so he's got a lot of upside. This is, you know, a guy that he could pay huge dividends for the Hawks down the road. So he started and scored last night. I think he scored 16 or something like that for the Hawks last night. So the Hawks season opener is against Detroit on next Thursday night, and then a week from tomorrow on Saturday the 26th, home opener against the Orlando Magic at State Farm Arena for the Atlanta Hawks. We also note some of the headlines include the fact that the Kansas City Chiefs won last night. They buried the Broncos in Denver 30-6, okay? And they won the game by a mile. But that's not the story, not even remotely close. The story is an injury to Chiefs star quarterback Pat Mahomes. Goes into fourth down and one, Hugh, and does a quarterback sneak deep in Denver territory. injures his knee, dislocates his kneecap so badly that one of the players from Denver said didn't even look like a knee when he was down on the ground. Laid there motionless, was able to walk off the field, but there's a lot of concern about how long he might be out.
6 weeks. He popped it out of place. The thing about injuries like that, they got to see if it's ligament damage. You know, anytime anything is dislocated. You know, I know about this because my son dislocated his ankle at the beginning of the football season. So, but he had ligament damage. So he had to go in and he had to put screws in his leg and in his ankle and everything. So, you know, that's going to take a while for him to rehab that. Hopefully that's not the case for Patrick Mahomes and he can get back probably in about 6 to 8 weeks. That's what I'm thinking. I'm not a doctor, but I play one on TV. 6 to 8 weeks.
Right. So you're saying that. Now I'm thinking, you know, that's going to be, you know, 5 to 7 games, and they played 7, so you're looking at maybe being back for the final couple of games of the regular season in the playoffs, and they're still probably going to be able to make the playoffs because they are 5-2, and you would, if they don't collapse, they'll make the playoffs, and they are 5-2. The question is, what are they going to do in the interim? They had Matt Moore playing quarterback last night, and he did okay. Threw a 57-yard touchdown pass to Tyreek Hill. I mean, he did all right. But he's not going to be a quarterback going forward. Can you imagine Matt Moore being your guy if you're the Kansas, if you're Andy Reid?
No, we were sitting there talking, and there are some options in the NFL and out of the NFL. And I'm going to tell you, me and A were like-minded in this situation. I was thinking Colin Kaepernick. I'm not going to lie. But the thing of it is, 3 years removed from the NFL, how soon can you get up to speed for what the Kansas City Chiefs need? That's the biggest question, number one. I think that his skill set would fit great in that offense, excuse me. And if there's ever a man that if this is how I thought about it. If Colin Kaepernick can play, if he can truly play,
mm-hmm.
Andy Reid will get him. Coach Reid will get him. I mean, I know him. I feel comfortable saying this because I know the man. When he got Michael Vick, when Michael Vick got out of jail. There's a little controversy there. If Colin Kaepernick can play, Andy Reid will get it out of him. That's my thought on that. So that's going to be, you know, it's going to be a question of whether or not he feels like Colin Kaepernick can get up to speed or whether or not he would want to get a quarterback that's already in a system or backing up somebody like an Eli Manning or what was that, Josh Rosen or somebody like that, Fitzmagic or something. You know, even though I think Fitzpatrick is playing this weekend. He's starting.
Yeah, he is starting.
So, yeah, it all depends. It just all depends.
Well, I'm sure the Miami Dolphins would be willing to trade Josh Rosen, and the poor guy would end up bouncing around somewhere else if for no other reason than Miami would be able to accrue more draft picks, which is what they're into right now. They're into getting as many draft picks as they possibly can, Hugh. So.
Yeah, you ain't about to get that much for that cat, though. I wouldn't think. I mean, I wouldn't think probably about a third or fourth.
Yeah, well, probably true, and you know, would Tennessee be willing to part with Marcus Mariota? I mean, so there are going to be guys available to the Kansas City Chiefs. Kaepernick would certainly be the biggest story of the year, though, wouldn't it? Wow. And you're right. Andy Reid is willing to roll the dice. He did the Michael Vick thing when people said, oh, you can't do Michael Vick. And, you know, wait a minute now. Of course you can. And he did. And that worked out, I think, fairly successfully, didn't it? Wouldn't you say?
Michael Vick was a MVP candidate.
Yeah.
He didn't get it, but he was an MVP candidate. And he went on to play with the Pittsburgh Steelers for a little while. So I think it worked out well for Michael Vick. Michael Vick got out of jail, convicted felon, got out of jail, played in the NFL, and then went on to have a job at Fox. I think it worked out tremendously well for him, extremely. So, yeah, I think it did. He resurrected his career, life.
You know, and here's what I'm thinking is at this point, If you say that Andy Reid's the guy that's willing to take a chance at Colin Kaepernick, I think at the very least, Andy Reid would bring him in to work him out.
Well, it's more to it than that, John. I mean, it's how much Colin Kaepernick's in a unique situation. He's a guy who is an iconic figure that his brand is the oppressed. I mean, just to simplify it, just to simplify it for this conversation. So don't nobody get all up in your feelings by me talking about this. But that's his brand. His brand is, you know, being able to say that, you know, people point to him as a person who has been oppressed in the NFL because of his beliefs. Now, if he plays in the NFL, how much does that hurt his brand? And not only that, how much does it hurt his brand if he plays in the NFL and does not play well? So there's that he has to worry about. And I don't know where Colin Kaepernick's head is. Does he really want to play again? He says he does, or we've heard that he says he does. Just don't know.
Well, it'll certainly be a talking point throughout the week here, and we'll see what the Kansas City Chiefs decide to do and how long Pat Mahomes is going to be out for the Kansas City Chiefs. A couple of the other headlines this morning, the Astros hammered the Yankees last night. 8-3 was the final score in the game. They now lead that series 3-1. We are one win away from the Astros and the Nationals in the World Series. Yankees pitching just simply isn't getting it done. And George Springer had a big three-run home run. Correa hit another big home run. He's going to most likely be the MVP of the series, you'd think, at this point. So the Astros look like they're headed back to the World Series against the Washington Nationals. I don't see anything Hughes says to me the Yankees are going to be able to come back from a 3-1 deficit. I see nothing that says that that's going to happen.
You never know. I mean, I'm you just never know.
I know, but at the same time, that would be as big a shock.
Wait a minute, LeBron did it against Golden State, didn't he? Didn't that happen? So, I mean, you never know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think LeBron plays for the Yankees.
That's not the point I was making, John. The point that I was making is like,
yeah, I know you never. Down no, one, you're right. Down you, one. You never.
I mean,
know.
You knew what I was trying
yeah,
to
I
say.
I know. I know what you were trying to say. The Astros and the Nationals. You'd have the best team in baseball and the hottest team in baseball. It would be an interesting World Series. And we get ready for Atlanta United coming up against New England to open up the MLS playoffs. Defense of their title begins tomorrow afternoon at 1:00 at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Of course, complete coverage on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, with the pregame at 12:30 with Mike Conley and Jason Longshore. The kick is at 1:00 tomorrow as Atlanta United takes on the New England Revolution, a team that they just beat, and they will play in the opening round. And remember, this is a different world. Everything's changed in MLS playoffs now, Hugh. One and done. It's all straight knockout. It's like the NCAA tournament, you know, basketball tournament. You don't get – you're just done. One and done.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so no aggregates to worry about or – you know, hey, listen, if we lose by less than 3 goals with 2 and this and we score first, then, you know, oh, my God.
And I just want to let everybody know, and I don't want to, you know, bring anybody down or anything, but Kansas City Chiefs had 9 sacks last night. 9. 9 sacks. 6 of those were in the first half. Food for thought.
Yeah, they have more sacks in the first half than the Falcons have had this year. I'm just stating a fact. It's just a stat. That's all. Do a little morning menu action next. Dave, the producer, is going to jump in here early, and we're going to get his 3 questions of the day and post them up to our social media at 929 The Game. We'll do that as the morning show on this Friday continues after a CBS Sports Minute.
You on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And the morning show with John and Hugh on this Friday. Hopefully you're having a safe drive in and around Atlanta. Abe, the producer, has 3 questions during the 6 o'clock hour every morning called the morning menu. This morning will be this time. And, of course, we'll post these questions up to our Twitter at 929 The Game after he asks us. And, of course, Hugh and I don't know what the appetizer, main course, and dessert are going to be today. Happy Friday, Abe.
How you guys doing? I'm very excited about these questions today. I think sometimes I don't always think I have 3 quality questions.
They better be good, then.
I think today I've got 3 quality questions for you guys and our listeners to ponder.
Your questions are always good.
Not all 3 of them. Sometimes there's a bum one in there.
No, they're all good.
I think this one. Now, some of these questions are about bums, but bums. Not a bummy question. Question number 1 here in the morning menu. Jake Fromm threw 51 passes a week ago in the loss to South Carolina. How many passes, and you can give me like a range of 3, like 4 to 7. That'd be a range of 3, right? Yeah. I mean, technically, that'd be a range of 4, but you know what I meant. How many passes will he throw against Kentucky within a small range? Or should he? You could go will he or should he, either one.
I would say probably 25 to 30.
Oh, you're way up there.
Well, that's kind of like in his range, like
yeah.
20 to 30, like the 20 to 30 range, somewhere around there. If you look at his numbers over the past few years, like that's kind of where he is. You know, like, maybe, okay, I'm like, okay, 15 to 20.
I mean, look, even that's, I mean, look, 51 a week ago is so abnormal. 30's not a bad number.
They threw it a lot more than they should have, in
yeah,
my opinion. They should have ran the ball a lot more. That's Georgia's bread and butter. That's what you go to.
John?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think right around 30.
Man, that many. Well, I thought they were going to flip it and go the other way.
I guess that'll get
a fit. No, it's not a wrong answer, but in my mind, I'm like, ooh, like maybe 18 to 22, 18 to 20.
No, you still need a couple of things. One is you need to establish the run and pass, balance. Number two is you still have things you got to work on. One of the things that Georgia has not been successful with this year is being vertical, and getting separation with their receivers, with down the field with Cager and with Robertson, and certainly you want to continue to work on that with Pickens and Blaylock. And you don't want Kentucky to load the box either. I mean, so a lot of this is, I think there's still going to be, I think Q's right. I think we're right around 30, 27 to 30.
I think at the end of the day, though, what you guys are talking about, and even though my number's a little lower, is we both see them getting back to making sure they run the ball as well. I mean, 51 passes, I mean, we may not see him throw 40 passes the rest of the year. Not total, I mean in a single game, obviously. 51 is a bit heavy, and you got to work that run. And I mean, what has Georgia been the past, however many years you want to go back? I mean, they've always been
a squad.
I mean, you can run down the list of all SEC running backs that have been at Georgia over the past 10 years. And Swift is one as well.
Longer than that.
But I meant consistently every year. I mean, they've had one. I know they've had a bunch of different guys throughout the 90s and early 2000s. But, man, they've had a real run of guys recently that started, I want to say started like maybe with like Knowshon Moreno. Mm-hmm,
yeah.
And then ever since then, it's just stud, stud, stud. I mean, they've had no drop-off. And I don't think they have a drop-off in talent this year, but I do think the production a little bit against the power SEC team. Not even power, but South Carolina's, the Kentuckys, we'll see. It'll be interesting, but to your point, yeah, definitely not going to be throwing the ball 50 times again. That's for sure.
No bueno. No bueno.
Okay, question number two. Here's
Or put it this way. If they have to throw it 50 times,
that's a bad sign. That's a real bad sign. And I think it's not one of our pick six games, so I assume we all do think Georgia rebounds this weekend and handles Kentucky relatively easily.
Like a boss.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so, too. Okay, question number two here on the morning menu. Second of three questions I'll be asking you guys. Who's going to have more sacks on Sunday? Aaron Donald or the entire Falcons pass rush?
Aaron Donald. I'm sorry.
Can it be like 2-1 or?
I'm sorry. I think that you haven't shown me anything. You haven't shown me nothing to make me think that you're going to have a day. There's too many teams this year in the NFL, when you look at it over the history of the NFL, that have had 9 sack games. You got the Jacksonville Jaguars had one. You got the Kansas City Chiefs just had one last night. You had who did Mariota and those
Carolina
guys?
Carolina?
Come on, man.
The Panthers did it.
Come on, man. Come on. Nah. You'd be lucky to get a sack this weekend.
One sack?
I don't know how you pick the Falcons. I mean, as much as you want to and say the Falcons are going to get 4 or 5 sacks, they haven't had a sack in a month.
It's 11-on-1, man. You got 11 options.
Until they get one.
Got one.
I hope somebody's listening.
All right, wait a second. Let me ask you a question, okay?
By me saying that.
All right, who has more sacks over the last 3 weeks of the NFL play, okay? The Atlanta Falcons, entire Atlanta Falcons, or Hugh Douglas?
Well, neither of them has more.
Right, that's the point.
The same. It's not like Hugh's above them. They're just equal. Same level.
Hey.
Look, I mean.
That was funny.
I tend to agree with you. I mean, as much as I make fun of y'all, but yeah, I think you have to go with Aaron Donald.
You make fun of us?
How many times have we come in a team that's allowed the third most sacks in the NFL? It's like 5 straight weeks, right?
Right.
Listen.
Now, the week after that, they're not in third because they go a whole game with a zero, but.
As a former defender. Like, when you look at the lineup that you had over the last couple of weeks, you had, I would even throw Jacoby Brissett in there. I throw Jacoby Brissett, Marcus Mariota, Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
And who did we just get beat by last week?
Kyler Murray.
Dude, that's a feasting menu of young quarterbacks, offensive lines that aren't doing that great. That's a cornucopia. That's my word because it's the holidays. Cornucopia of teams.
You didn't want to use plethora today?
Not today. Cornucopia. But no, those 4 teams right there alone, think about it, man. Like you have four, as far as sacks are concerned, You have four cupcakes.
I legitimately tried to make a joke with the stat. I legitimately think the Falcons in three straight weeks faced defenses that allowed the third most sacks in the NFL to that point.
Yeah, I think you're
three,
right.
3-3-3.
Right.
And each week they were no longer third because they probably dropped to seventh or eighth because
they put up a
shutout.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the slump buster.
Yeah, the other thing, it's going to be interesting too because as much as we joke about the other offensive lines, the Rams' pressure rate, like the pressure rate on Jared Goff is really high.
Yes.
It's like 46% of his dropbacks.
And you know what the most...
So there should be chances.
You know what the most frustrating thing will be Sunday?
When we get no pressure. Getting close?
No, none.
None?
Like there's been times where the Falcons have gotten pressure, but it's sporadic. It's few and far between. For those numbers that you're talking about, it needs to be a little bit more consistent, and it's not been that. It hasn't been that, and that's the tough part about it.
Okay, final question here on the morning menu.
I didn't make everybody depressed on this.
No, I think you guys are both right. I think we all agreed. Aaron Donald, look, if it's 2-1, I think I guess I'll take it.
I just depressed everybody this morning. Depressed.
As we ramp up our countdown to Halloween, we're going to start doing some more Halloween-themed questions here on the dessert round of the morning menu. So we'll start that off today. What is your biggest fear or phobia?
Falling. I have a fear of falling.
Fear of falling?
Mm-hmm.
Is it because you're old and you can't get up?
Oh, listen to you. Yeah, you're the peak of health and wellness, okay?
Yeah,
no, got it. No. I have vertigo.
That's a trigger word. They triggered him. He's triggered.
Yes, I am.
He's triggered.
No, I have vertigo.
Vertigo.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You're talking about legitimate falling, not falling down.
Not falling down.
You're talking about falling from height.
Yeah, I
should have said vertigo then.
Well, I mean.
Now I think he's scared to leave the house without the life alert, you know.
When I was a kid, we went to the Grand Canyon. I wouldn't get out of the car.
Stamps.
I mean, there's no chance. I wouldn't get out of the car.
No, I understand. Okay. This is a different fear you're talking about then. I understand that. I understand that fear of heights and vertigo. Right.
I don't like spiders.
Arachnophobia.
Yeah, I got arachnophobia.
Oh, baby. You seen that film?
Yes, I have.
That was the first film my dad ever showed me. Terrified of spiders.
I don't understand why people have like spiders as pets.
Tarantulas are different.
Oh, you had one before?
No, but I would.
Oh, no, I'm not. No.
I mean, I would.
Maybe they can't really hurt you.
So, I got to follow up on this arachnophobia thing.
No.
Are you too scared to, like, get close and kill them? Like, take care of them?
I kill them.
So, you're not like, terrified to be...
No, I kill them.
Like, because you have people like who, like, won't spiders. Go close. Like, they'll move out the house, set the house on fire.
I ain't letting them crawl all over me and nothing like that. No, that ain't about to happen. No. No. Spiders for pets for the kid. Nah, not me.
There's a different kind of camp coming into town. It's really interesting. We're going to talk about what is going to be happening in Atlanta. Wait till you hear this. That's next. I'm John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Who has a little bit of experience in coaching football, not just with the Atlanta Legends, but, you know, what was it, a few years back, Hugh, she kind of broke every glass ceiling in the world when she was an assistant with the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. To have a female coach out there coaching.
Yeah, absolutely was. First female coach. Matter of fact, I think are you with Madden, Jen Walter? By the way, good morning to you. Welcome to the show.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, guys. I am in Madden. It is pretty cool. I tell people I went from being the first female coach in the real world to the digital world as well.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
It is. The only thing you have to notice, so it's in the shutdown KO mode. Superstar KO mode, and my team is Team Shutdown. It's a defensive-based team. Obviously, we have the best defense in the team. Philosophy is they can't score, they can't win.
I like that philosophy.
After my true heart. But the funny thing is, if you look at the huddle, obviously, I'm 5'2", so we either have, like, the shortest team in the world, or I'm really tall in this version. Maybe, you know, it finally took the digital world to be there because you see I'm the same height as the guys in the huddle. So all of my players have gotten a good kick out of that one.
So Jen, I just had to tell you, when I saw you out there, I was excited. But at the same time, you know, being a former football player and being out there with the guys and being 5'2", were you a little bit intimidated at first?
You know, I probably would have been intimidated to be out there with them as a coach if I hadn't been out there already as a player. You got to remember, before I went into coaching with them, I was the first female to play running back in men's pro football. So I'd already played a season in indoor as a running back. So, mm-hmm. you know, you think of what's the scariest thing that could happen is that, you know, you might accidentally get tackled in a drill. Well, that already happened for a season, so we're good, right? Like, worst case aside, what you all worried about, I've gotten hit, gotten right back up, we're good. And actually, I found, as a defensive coach, being able to run some of the drills, that my height is an advantage. Number one, if they're trying to get to my level, they're winning because, you know you're a former football player, low man wins.
Yes.
So if they can get as low as me, we're going to win every time.
Jen Welter is joining us on the WayForward.com hotline. Tomorrow, she's got a camp off Hollowell Parkway. Tell me a little bit about the camp that you got going.
So it's an all-girls camp tomorrow from 2 to 6. Check-in starts at 1, and it's sponsored by Adidas. And this is something that's really close to my heart. I grew up in Vero Beach, Florida, huge football fan, always wanted to play, didn't actually get the opportunity until I was 22. So I jokingly say if I would have started earlier, I would have, you know, owned the game. So, you know, I haven't stopped trying. But when I got out of the NFL, I noticed that there were football camps everywhere, and none of them were specifically for girls. So the situation that you get in is, yeah, you might have a co-ed camp, right? You asked about being intimidated going out there with the guys. When it's intimidated is if everybody else has already learned something, right? Like, how to throw a ball properly, how to catch, how to pull flags, do all those things. And then you're thrown in, and you don't know what they know. And so you'd see at co-ed camps, you might have, like, two girls. And there are a whole lot more that want to play. So what we do is take them in a safe environment and teach them all of the basics. So you have to have no football pre-knowledge so that there's no game that they cannot step in. And if they've been playing, we're going to take their games to a whole nother level. And then hopefully, whether it's a co-ed situation, an all-girls situation, or you're just playing street ball, the girls will have the skills to step in and know that, you know, they know the right things to do.
Sports Radio 929 The Game. We're talking to Jen Welter, former NFL assistant coach. So, Jen, what I'm getting from this is that when they come to your camp, you're taking them down to the fundamentals and you're building them back up so that they can feel comfortable going into any situation and playing football and knowing what they're talking about. Am I right with that?
You are. You are. Because, you know what, and you know this, it's not boy or a girl who doesn't know how to catch passes properly. I still check boys all the time, and it's funny to me because as a former linebacker / D-line coach, I've taught more people how to catch a football than I could even possibly tell you. But if you've not been taught the fundamentals, then you're not going to be successful. So to come in and really get somebody who is paying attention to those details that you have to be taught, then you're going to get into a situation where you've got that foundation, and anywhere else you go, you've got it, and you can continue to learn. You can't build a foundation on sand, so we want to make sure that you have a nice, solid foundation.
Jen Welter joining us on the WayForward.com hotline. Of course, coach with the Atlanta Legends, was a coach with the Arizona Cardinals, knows a little bit about football. Her camp tomorrow is at John Lewis Invictus Academy on Hollowell Parkway. And, of course, you can go to JenWelter.com and get more information, JenWelter. It is girls. And I think it's important, Jen, because anybody out there going, well, you know, I don't have any gear. This isn't a gear situation, is it?
No, it's not. It's flag, number one. So if you don't have cleats, bring your sneakers. And also, don't forget, it's completely free. So it's not – I had a coach ask me, you mean free? I'm like, I don't know what other kind of free. Like, we are not charging you anything. You will get some gear from Adidas. I partnered with them. They've backed my entire fall tour and some of the stuff that I did earlier this year because we believe that there's no game you cannot play and no field you do not belong in or on. This is confidence through sports. If you ever wanted to try, or even if you're a parent out there and you feel like your girl is lacking some of the confidence to step out on these fields, one of the beautiful things about football, and part of the reason why I love it so much, is on the football field, we have a place for everybody, meaning every body type. So everyone who comes out there will feel like $1 million at the end of the day, and I take that very personally. This is my way to be hands-on with girls all across the country and to get a little bit of the magic through the game of football that has changed my world.
Sports Radio 929, again, we're talking to Jen Welter, former NFL assistant coach. Jen, I got to say, I like the name of your nail polish, and it also allowed it's kick glass, and in referring to the glass ceilings that you're starting to kick down. But what I really like about it is because there's a stigma out there that women can't, you know, be a woman and still be physical. And the fact that you're out there doing that, I think that's great.
You know, my nails have gone back to actually when I played with the guys. And you know this. It's look good, play good, right?
Right, so rock and roll.
They don't want me out there as a female, like, trying to look like them. They don't. Like, just because you're playing a man's game in a quote-unquote man's game in a man's world doesn't mean you're trying to be a man. And I think that that's a really important thing for girls to see. Like, you can get your hands dirty. You can have your hands down in the trenches and have banging nails at the same time. And this is something that I have kind of gotten pushback from in certain situations, right? Like, I showed up the first time I was going to walk in a fashion show. It's like a professional fashion show. Everybody's, you know, decked out. They have these gorgeous dresses and stuff. And they essentially had, like, a dude suit for me because they're like, well, you're a football coach. We wanted you to be comfortable. And I said, I'm not comfortable in that. Like, I would never wear that. And I don't want girls to have to feel that just because you love football that you're trying to be a guy. Like, be yourself. Be you. Make a stand and break barriers, even, you know, even the way you wear your nails.
Well, JenWelter.com, JenWelter. It is a flag football. It's free. It's flag football camp. And you can be part of it tomorrow at John Lewis Invictus Academy. Just go to JenWelter.com. Jen, we really appreciate you taking a few minutes. And hopefully you could teach some of these girls to rush the quarterback and get a sack, because apparently that's a lost art around here.
Oh, look, give me anyone who wants to rush the quarterback. If pad level is a problem, I am an expert.
There you go. There's so much that I can say after you said that about some people that I know here that need that. But I'm going to go ahead and lay out.
Why don't you tell them to holler at me? It does happen to be one of the best things I'm best at.
Like, I believe it. Look, I believe it.
It took me a long time to learn that. At 5'2", you know, when you first get out there, you think you're going to try and go like chest to chest, toe to toe with people. And when you find out quickly that you're not chest to chest, you're more like chest to belly button. You really better just check yourself and realize that getting low is an advantage. Once you get that, you can rule the world and sack a whole lot of quarterbacks.
Low man win.
Low man wins. And appreciate it, Jen. Best
of
luck
to
you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Anytime, guys. Have a good one.
All right, Jen Welter at JenWelter.com. Hey, AMB Sports and Entertainment, bringing the biggest country music artists together one weekend to create ATL Live, Mercedes-Benz Stadium's inaugural concert series. Friday, November 15, Sunday, November 17, ATL Live Concert Weekend includes on Friday Keith Urban, Blake Shelton, Sugarland, and more. On Sunday, the 17th, Eric Church, Luke Combs, Brothers Osborne, and more. Tickets available Ticketmaster.com for as low as $39 for the ATL Live AMB Sports and Entertainment Country Music Weekend. When we get back in a moment, if you missed it, the best bet you can make, well, you can't really make the bet, but the best bet in the Falcons-Rams game, we have it. You'll hear it next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.